Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, the American Freedom Party.us.
Now's your chance to get the last of the Resolution Radio Blood Teas. Only a few left available before we try to do a reorder. This has been a high selling item, and we really appreciate everyone's support in getting this shirt and showing their pride as well as showing their heritage. Nothing counts more than blood. Get yours today from Resolution Radio. Only $25 plus $5 shipping and handling. It really helps the network improve and you really get a great product to showcase what you truly believe in. Nothing counts more than blood. Only from Resolution Radio at resolutionrdo.com. Send check, money order, or well-concealed cash to Sonny Thomas at P.O. Box 27, Springboro, Ohio, 45066. That's Sonny Thomas at P.O. Box 27, Springboro, Ohio, 45066. You're listening to Resolution Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. Thanks to National Alliance Chairman Will Williams and Nathan D'Amigo, I have before me a copy of a bill which is in the process of making its way through the Tennessee legislature. The bill, HB 2100, has not yet been signed, as far as I can tell, but has crossed all the other legislative hurdles. It aims to fight back against the debanking movement among banks and other Jewish-dominated financial institutions that I talked about on last week's American Dissident Voices program. A movement to deny financial services to individuals and groups who oppose the anti-white, anti-family, anti-normal sexuality agendas being pushed by the Jewish power structure. The National Alliance, the sponsor of this program, and our community's Cosmotheist Church have been victims of this campaign on numerous occasions. We had 6 bank accounts closed on us and had online usury card processor accounts closed so many times I've lost track of the exact number. I quit counting at 20. All in an effort to keep us from doing the ordinary business transactions that other membership organizations and churches do every day, so long as they never criticize Jews or the Jews' anti-white, multiracialist agenda. The Jewish power structure, through their mouthpieces, the ADL, and a number of Soros front groups with high-sounding names, including the words open and democracy and the like, have been for years now, and with increasing frequency, sending quote-unquote reports and quote-unquote studies and other missives suggesting and prodding such financial institutions to deny services to white racists and anti-Semites and extremists and others the Jewish groups define as haters. You'd think that these days, with the Jewish state and its U.S. enablers in Washington murdering thousands of innocent and mostly non-white people every single week in Palestine, that such letters from the ADL thugs and Soros' goons would be met with derisive laughter at the preposterous suggestion that the bloody-handed Jewish establishment has the right to call anyone else a hater. But the executives at financial institutions worldwide, and especially in the U.S., are not a typical audience. Back in 2018, I reported on this program. Of the 51 senior executives of the major Wall Street banks, trade exchanges, and regulatory agencies, 37 are Jews or have Jewish spouses. This is a numerical representation of 72%. Jews are approximately 2%. Of the U.S. population, therefore Jews are overrepresented among the senior executives of the major Wall Street banks, trade exchanges, and regulatory agencies by a factor of 36 times or 3,600%. Of the 40 senior executives of the major Wall Street mutual funds, private equity funds, hedge funds, and brokerages, 26 are Jews or have Jewish spouses. This is a numerical representation of 65%. Jews, as I said, are approximately 2% of the U.S. population. Therefore, Jews are overrepresented among the senior executives of the major Wall Street mutual funds, private equity funds, hedge funds, and brokerages by a factor of 32.5 times or 3,250%. So, when the ADL, or one of the dozens of Soros so-called NGOs, writes to the heads of banks, credit card firms, and the like, around 70% of those they're writing to are Jews who are easily persuaded by these supposed leaders of the Jewish community and protectors of Jews that they need to cut off the bank accounts and credit and debit card transaction abilities of haters. Read racially conscious whites. The other 30%, non-Jews in decision-making positions, are well aware that their jobs depend on Jewish favor and are easily persuaded to fall in line. And even if nearly all the executives at their particular rural backwater bank, there still are a few that haven't been bought up yet, are non-Jews, they know well that their company is totally at the mercy of the larger Jew-controlled financial system of which they are a part. They, too, are a very special kind of audience for letters from Soros NGOs and the ADL. If the executives at financial institutions were ethnically and racially representative of the U.S. population, which they are not by 100 miles, then it would be Jewish groups being labeled as haters, fomenters of genocide, and undesirable customers. As it is, though, it is white race thinkers who are getting debanked. And also, pathetically philo-Semitic conservatives are getting debanked too. These, though they may sincerely love Jews and support Israel, nevertheless find themselves at odds with some part of the Jews' agenda, say the promotion of sexual perversion or transsexual sex mutilation of children or the killing of healthy children in the womb, things like that. With typical Jewish hysteria and overreach, these mostly white conservatives are being debanked every bit as much as the National Alliance. So in places like Tennessee, where a very large part of the population is white, and in many areas it is nearly all white and tradition-minded, there is some pushback against the intensifying debanking efforts of the Jews. Hence this bill. Let me quote from it. Quote, "A financial institution shall not deny or cancel its services to a person or otherwise discriminate against a person in making available such services or in the terms or conditions of such services on the basis of 1. The person's political opinions, speech, or affiliations. 2. Except for a financial institution that claims a religious purpose, the person's religious beliefs, religious exercise, or religious affiliations. 3. Any factor if it is not a quantitative, impartial, and risk-based standard, including any such factor related to the person's business sector. Or 4, the use of a rating, scoring, analysis, tabulation, or action that considers a social credit score based on factors including A, the person's political opinions, speech, or affiliations, B, except for a financial institution that claims a religious purpose, person's religious beliefs, religious exercise, or religious affiliations, C, the person's lawful ownership of a firearm, D, the person's engagement in the lawful manufacture, distribution, sale, or purchase or use of firearms or ammunition, E, the person's engagement in the exploration, production, utilization, transportation, sale, or manufacture of fossil fuel-based energy, timber, mining, or agriculture. F, the person's support of the state or federal government in combating illegal immigration, drug trafficking or human trafficking, G, the person's engagement with, facilitation of, employment by, support of, business relationship with, representation of, or advocacy for any person described in this subsection, C, or H, the person's failure to meet or commit to meet or expected failure to meet any of the following, as long as such person is in compliance with applicable state or federal law. 1. Environmental standards, including emission standards, benchmarks, requirements, or disclosures. 2. Social governance standards, benchmarks, or requirements, including environmental or social justice. 3. Corporate board or company employment, composition standards, benchmarks, requirements, or disclosures based on race, creed, color, religion, sex, age, or national origin. Or 4. Policies or procedures requiring or encouraging employee participation in social justice programming, including diversity, equity, or inclusion training. Close quote. Now, the Jews are not going to like this bill. It makes it a bit, just a little bit harder for them to push their DIE agenda on us. And despite the fact that the freedom lover and practical man in me can't stand the idea of some 90 IQ bureaucrat deciding things like who should be forced to do business with whom or what is and what is not a legitimate risk factor in a business he knows nothing about, I am nevertheless glad to see the bill get to the governor's desk, if it does at last. And I hope it becomes law, if it hasn't already, by the time you hear this. As long as the dumbbell bureaucracy exists, we might as well see it used to help good white people instead of hurt them. But I warn you, the 23 Republicans, and it was only Republicans, who sponsored the bill did not write it and sponsor it because they care about the white race. Or if they did, they're damn sure not going to admit it. You can't admit to virtue like that and be elected in this country. They wrote and sponsored it because of the Jews' overreach in including civic nationalist conservatives on the list of haters who ought to be debanked. The conservatives and Republicans have already been making noises about how unfair it was to include themselves alongside truly evil haters like white people who want to continue to exist. If the Jews had strictly limited themselves to debanking white racists and anti-Semites, why the sainted Jesus-loving conservatives would have had no problem at all with that bill. They almost came out and said as much. So, you can be sure that these same conservatives and Republicans, after this bill becomes law, will be first in line to meet with moderate Jewish spokesmen who will suggest ever so nicely that they amend the law so that white racists and anti-Semites can be debanked while, of course, leaving Bible bangers and MAGA folks alone. There would be a bill that every Republican could endorse. There was a time, not so long ago, when we did not need banks to live. Even before I realized that our banks constitute a Jewish scam and a system of modern slavery, I had a desire to live a private life, free of Big Brother-style surveillance. And I saw the banking system as one of the worst offenders in that regard, right up there with the government itself. This was the late 1970s and early 1980s, and I was working for radio station WEAM in Arlington, Virginia. I would take my biweekly paycheck made out to me from WEAM and take it to not my bank, but the bank where the radio station had its bank account. I think it was Arlington Fairfax Savings and Loan. After providing proof that I was indeed the man to whom the check was made out, I would endorse and cash the check, taking the full amount in paper currency. Then I would spend it as I saw fit. Some things, even then, still pretty much required check payments, so I did deposit some, but far from all, in my own bank account. At least when I cashed the check at the issuing bank, I was keeping part of my life private from the bank I was forced to use for certain other purposes. I definitely resented the increasingly near requirement that we all have a bank account, with all the numerous eyes on everything we do with our money that implies. And I somewhat resisted it for as long as I could, even before I was race and Jew aware. Arlington Fairfax managers didn't always like cashing the checks drawn on their bank for a non-account holder. Why would they, when they were a fractional reserve institution, like all of them, always 90% or so short of the cash to match their paper obligations? But there must have been a law, or at least a strong tradition, that they had to cash checks if they were written by their account holders. By 1982, though, Arlington Fairfax had merged with some mega bank or other, and banking regulations had changed. And within a year or so, they started absolutely refusing to cash my paychecks. I soon discovered that I could no longer live my life as a cash customer with most businesses without first passing all my income through a bank which kept detailed records on me. I suppose I should thank those petty tyrants for inspiring my study of the banking system, which led to several major awakenings in my life. I encourage all of you to read more on the banking system on nationalvanguard.org, because knowledge of how it truly works will allow you to understand exactly how we have been enslaved. And without such understanding, we cannot achieve freedom again. One freedom tool I mention from time to time is Bitcoin. Not only has Bitcoin allowed our customers and supporters to transact with us during periods when we and our church had been fully or partially debanked, to the tune of many thousands of dollars, but it is also a new technology which, once it reaches a higher level of adoption, can totally replace the entire Jewish banking and financial system. That's revolutionary and very, very promising. If we do right, there can be a day when we can live our lives completely free of banks and bankers. True, you can't yet run down to the lumber yard and use BTC to get the materials you need to build a house, but we're getting there. You can use it to buy Amazon and other gift cards at a company called BitRefill, and thousands of businesses worldwide now accept it. So some people basically live on it now instead of dollars. And you can buy books from Cosmotheist Books and support the National Alliance with it. One man wrote to us saying, quote, "If you think Bitcoin isn't part of the establishment, then just Google how many Bitcoin wallets have been seized," close quote. That's a common claim, but it isn't really true. Sure, Bitcoin has been seized by the government when it was left on a wallet on an exchange. because the feds can subpoena or otherwise threaten the exchange operators until they give up the account password and funds to the government. But Bitcoin, kept on a hardware wallet, not connected to any exchange, cannot be seized like that. And that is where everyone should keep their BTC. That is how it was intended to be used. It was not intended to be used by keeping your BTC in Sam Bankman-Fried's fraudulent bucket shop or anything remotely like it. It should be obvious that I place little long-term faith in the new Tennessee bill and its sponsors. But I do think it and bills like it can buy us some time. We should use that time to grow our numbers and grow our National Alliance Intentional White Community. Are you helping us to do that?
You're listening to Resolution Radio, Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
Recap for March 4th to 8th, 2024. Today's story. A black man is arrested for the knife murder of a 73-year-old grandmother, Bel Air, Maryland. A 73-year-old white grandmother was stabbed to death last Thursday after trying to intervene in an argument between her granddaughter and her black boyfriend. According to court documents, 24-year-old Angelo Terrell Spencer, who is black, was identified as the ex-boyfriend of Mary Catherine Bland's 17-year-old granddaughter. The documents alleged Spencer had purchased a glass cutter and a knife, using them to break inside Bland's residence prior to ringing the front doorbell. Court records indicate the 6'5", 300-pound Spencer then had an exchange with Bland, who answered the door before pushing his way inside the house. I think it was an interaction where it was, "You need to get out," that kind of thing, and he reacted in a very psychotic and disgusting way, Bel Air Police Chief Charles Moore told WMAR. Yes, and used a knife to stab and kill her. Likely, dozens of stab wounds. After stabbing the elderly Bland approximately 25 times, police alleged Spencer then sexually assaulted the teenage girl upstairs before leaving the premises.
Today's story. Antifa fears right-wing Hungarian prisons following an infamous string of hammer attacks in Budapest, Hamburg, Germany. The parents of a fugitive member of a European Antifa cell, who now faces over 20 years in prison for her alleged role in a savage hammer attack in Budapest, now say their daughter will turn herself in after 13 months on the run. But only, they stipulate, If she faces trial in Germany, not Hungary, fearing punishment from a so-called right-wing populist government led by Viktor Orban, in February of 2023, the city of Budapest was rocked after a string of violent attacks were carried out by an international ring of anti-white extremists, commonly referred to as Antifa. Using hammers and other blunt force objects, police say members of the infamous Lena Engel Hammer Gang would ambush pro-white activists in the street, causing several life-threatening injuries to up to 9 victims. So far, 3 suspects have been indicted for the crimes, which Hungarian prosecutors assert were motivated by extremist ideologies.
Today's story: drunk and high migrants suspected of a high-speed crash that killed a white father of one. Marysville, Washington. A white husband and father of one was tragically killed on Saturday when a drunk driver in a speeding SUV slammed into his car. For the crime, police arrested an illegal immigrant from Mexico who they say was smoking weed and drinking beers for hours before the crash. According to reports, 27-year-old Christopher Gadd, a rookie Washington State trooper working Interstate 5, was struck dead when a drunk driver slammed into the rear of his patrol car. The Snohomish County Sheriff's Office asserts that 33-year-old Raul Benitez Santana, a Mexican migrant with a lengthy criminal history, was responsible for his death. Alarmingly, a probable cause statement obtained by local news alleged that Santana had admitted to drinking beers and smoking weed hours before the deadly crash unfolded. A spokesman from the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, ICE, later confirmed that Santana is a citizen of Mexico and had illegally entered the United States at an unknown date. For more news like this, visit justicereport.news and subscribe to our Telegram, Substack, and Odyssey to keep up to date on all the latest headlines from around the world. Become a paid supporter and gain access to our full archive of audio articles. And enjoy the Justice Report on the go.
Attention patriots, tired of the tyranny and crime in the sanctuary cities? Flee the city and seek refuge in the American Redoubt. FleeTheCity.com. Move to the freedom of Idaho, Montana, or Wyoming. FleeTheCity.com. FleeTheCity.com.
Thanks for listening to Project Schoolyard Volume 2. For more information about the project, as well as lyric to the songs on this CD, please visit www.tightrope.cc. You can also find jokes, news articles, a photo gallery, free CD downloads, and a secure online shopping cart. We carry a full line of flags, t-shirts, CDs, books, stickers, and other products of interest to racially conscious white people. Please visit www.tightrope.cc.
In the early 1900s, certain companies were off-gassing highly toxic fluoride gases into the atmosphere. The surrounding communities began to get sick. Laws were enacted to compel these corporations to install scrubbers to convert these gases into fluorosilicic acid, still highly toxic but containable. Now these companies had a stockpile of this poison, and there was no affordable way to dispose of it. Lucky for them, one of their major stockholders was also the Secretary of the Treasury, who was responsible for the Public Health Service at the time. And by 1950, the U.S. government began buying this toxic, untreated industrial waste product and dumping it into our drinking water. Reputable studies show that it's causing various cancers and other disease. With the Alexa Pure Pro, you can have clean drinking water and a remedy to this madness. Available now at InfoWarsStore.com.
The team at Antelope Hill is proud to announce the release of a new translation, Leon Degrelle in Exile by José Luis Jerez Reisco. Readers of The Burning Souls will already be familiar with Degrelle's life Before and during the Second World War, his service on the Eastern Front, and his involuntary post-war exile in Franco's Spain. This new work tells the story of his life in exile in detail, replete with first-hand accounts from Spanish nationalists and friends of de Grel. During his time in Spain, de Grel did not wallow in sadness. Despite the atrocities inflicted upon him and his family by the victorious Allied powers, he stayed remarkably active in European nationalist politics and left a lasting impression on both his personal friends and those from around the European world who took inspiration from his tenacious idealism. De Grel's enduring legacy in Spain is well deserved. Such a legacy also deserves to be spread to both sides of the Atlantic and beyond. Antelope Hill is proud to be the first to bring this unparalleled biography to the English reader. Get Leon de Grel in exile today at antelopehillpublishing.com.